We are off and rolling here on the Chatting with Lynn podcast. As always, started off by the amazing Jack Locke and his song Repeater, and the full version of that song for anyone who has not already listened to the podcast. Appears at the end of every podcast. There are some older podcasts where it does not, but we have now made that a thing because so many people have asked about the whole track instead of just the intro. So in the spirit of answering questions in an episode, we figured we'd give the fans, and surprisingly enough, we have fans and listeners, what they've asked for. We aim to please. Always trying to make the content better, and we appreciate the questions that get sent in. We try to pick, we're actually at a point now where we try to pick frequently asked questions and group questions together that are basically on the same topic or the same thought process, so that we're not repeating the same questions every episode. That would get boring really quick. We also tend to get a lot of questions about myself and my sometimes co-host and partner that are more of a personal nature. But most times when we get those questions, it's generally from quote-unquote people who generally have one picture on their profile, no posts, and 1,000 people following them. And it's generally a question that website asks for security questions. So those questions do not get answered. And especially not here on the podcast, that would get exceptionally boring if we just talked about ourselves all day. That'd get boring even for us. But we appreciate the people who send in questions. When people that converse with us through what I call the comments section in our social media posts. And obviously with a lot going on right now surrounding the military, we've been asked what thoughts and opinions are on the whole Lieutenant Colonel Schiller situation. I've been asked what I think about the coronavirus vaccine mandate that the Department of Defense has on all the troops now. People are still asking about Afghanistan. And now the more recent things that people have been asking about have been females now being made eligible for selective service. But first, I'm happy to report from a previous podcast, which I don't get to do much. We talked about on a previous podcast where we talked about the legislation that was coming up in Congress, and they did pass a defense spending bill for 2022. In that bill, it gives our uniformed service members and Department of Defense civilians a 2.7% pay raise. So that's an amazing thing. It was very much needed. So happy to report back that that bill passed. I believe the vote in the House was 312 to 113 or something like that. So passed overwhelmingly. And most defense appropriation spending bills generally wind up getting pretty good bipartisan support, even if they meager over little details and tweaks. But a new thing that passed that we hadn't already spoken about was this whole thing about females now being eligible for selective service. But it basically, the nuts and bolts of it, when you distill it down and you call a spade, is that all American citizens, when they turn 18, must register for selective service for the potential to be drafted, if a draft is so called by Congress. And the only time a draft can be called by Congress is if they've already made a formal declaration of war against another country. Now, that hasn't happened since we declared war on various countries in World War II. And some people are still opposed to it. I have heard some say, I don't want to send my daughter off just to have her come back in a body bag. But my rebuttal to that person is, what about your son? And I even had someone, when I asked that question back, that said, well, I wouldn't want my son to come home in a body bag, but it's just different. And I quickly stopped talking to that person about that topic because I knew that they were just not gonna see eye to eye with me on that one thing. But I think it's a good thing. I actually personally think it's long overdue, but in reality, it's really only fair. I have heard some say that if females want equal rights, they need equal treatment, and this is just part of that. And while I don't specifically prescribe to that one train of logic, I can see and or understand how some people would feel that way. But more importantly to me, at least on a personal opinion, is the people who are saying, I don't want to send my daughter off to die, generally have a more old-fashioned view of women in society. Anyhow, now that's just my own personal view. That might not be true or not. You may just be a parent that's not going to want to send any of your children off to the military, and that's fine. Then again, whether your parents and or family wanted you to join the military or not, I don't know very many mothers and fathers who aren't extremely proud of their children for their military service, so as we look in society and in the military, it's shown that when given the opportunities, females and members of LGBTQ community, or essentially however you may identify in that manner, when given the opportunity, humans can succeed regardless of gender. And females specifically have been a part of our military fighting force for many, many years. It's because of those old-fashioned views of keeping them in secretarial and nursing positions only, where they can't see actual combat, that restricted their ability to thrive and succeed in the military. And when females in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s wanted to do things that quote-unquote only males could do, they were very much held back. That has changed now. The doors are open for females in any job field of the military, including special operations. And I think it has shown over time that no matter how you identify gender-wise, we have great warriors in our military ranks across the board. I'm sure Sergeant Nicole Gee's parents would agree with that. I'm sure Riley McCollum's newborn daughter would probably agree with that statement once she's old enough to. But the one thing most people aren't saying to put context behind it, as usual, is no matter if you're on a list to be drafted or not, if you're drafted, there is still a qualification process and an entrance process, qualification-wise, with your health that you must meet to even begin basic training. If you don't meet those standards, they're not going to send you. If you're obese, if you're flat-footed, if you're colorblind, and I don't think colorblind necessarily disqualifies you from military service, but I know that there's certain jobs you can't do. I do know that they're not going to let you do any kind of electrical job if you're colorblind, because all the wires are color-coded. All the pipes down in the engine room are color-coded for each individual type of whatever the fluid is in that pipe. Type of fluid has a different color in a standardized system. If you're colorblind, you're gonna have trouble. So even those that do have to register, if there was ever a draft, you may even be disqualified for medical reason. You may get to boot camp and not make it through. They're probably not gonna loosen the standards very much in boot camp either. I want to see you try telling a die-hard Marine Corps drill instructor that he's got to loosen his standards so that somebody can wear that anchor and globe. Because I'd have to think drill instructors and drill sergeants and recruit division commanders would be working harder to ensure that they are effectively weeding out people who don't belong in military ranks. And I actually have to correct something that I said, because I realized that there was a draft during Vietnam, and that was not a formal declaration of war. Because in World War II and in Korea, a lot of guys were drafted. They served 2 years, and they came back. Everything was fine. But that didn't happen to those drafted in Vietnam. So I tend to separate that specifically in my mind. Now, could it happen now in today's times? Yeah, it could. Realistically, what's the probability of it actually happening? Because that's the real question. That's the question no one's asking. That's what my job is to ask the questions that no one else asks. People don't ask the right questions. Like with the Afghanistan withdrawal, 1 month later, something else that we get asked about. The question that needs to be asked back is, how come all of our enlisted personnel / boots on the ground expected this, yet our generals in the highest positions sit in front of congressional leaders and say the exact opposite? I really think most of those generals sit there in their positions and they have more politicians in their ear than the boots on the ground. So they're completely disenchanted by what's actually happening. And that's why you have people like Lieutenant Colonel Schiller who feel they need to speak up and let that chain of command know that they're fucking up. But as much as we've been asked lately about this, because I haven't made a whole lot of posts on social media about it, and that's mostly because this month is Suicide Awareness Month, or at least September was, and my focus was on that, not politics. But the little bit that I have engage back and forth online and in social media about the topics, I must say it's hard to get my point across in 85 characters or less, because I'm not a 30-second soundbite type of guy. Anyone that actually knows me personally will tell you I am quite descriptive, almost to the point of excessiveness sometimes. But all I really said was that I agree with what Lieutenant Colonel Schiller said. However, I am of the mind that even Lieutenant Colonel Schiller knew what he did was wrong and inappropriate and against policy to do so in such a public manner while representing the Department of Defense in any capacity. And I don't know if it's still this way, but I know the first rule we were always told when I went through boot camp in 1997, pre-social media, was never speak to a journalist without the public affairs officer present or without permission from the command. Because everything to the media gets handled by public affairs department. And U.S. Navy, as well as other branches, their social media accounts are handled by their public affairs department, public relations. So unfortunately, what he did was blatantly against policy. As well, he knew what he was doing was not appropriate considering his position. And he did it anyways. And even stated as such in said viral video. So, unfortunately, he's going to have to take his licks for this, whether anybody likes that or not. And whether we agree with what he said or not. And that's just how it is. And it's the same concept when you're talking about a COVID vaccine mandate. When it comes to the military. Now look, for anyone currently serving having to make this decision for yourself, I feel for you. Because I served in a time when they made us take anthrax vaccines and I had to make that decision. Do I want to take this vaccine or do I not want to take it? Do I want to refuse to take it and get discharged from the military? So, I feel for y'all, I do, but realize that without a medical waiver, you're not gonna really have a chance of beating this. It's going to happen. Unfortunately, I know people who were discharged from the Navy because they did not want to take an anthrax vaccine, including an O3 lieutenant and a department head on a U.S. Navy vessel, a supply officer, Lieutenant Lee, among others that I know. Again, I feel for you, but as harsh as this sounds, in both of those cases, I will refer to an old military phrase. Fuck around and find out. Well, the military has a field in Arizona where they grow their fucks, and it has been barren for years. They do not give a shit about your feelings. But as such, it must be made clear that once you raise one hand to that flag and you place another hand on a holy book of your choice and you take an oath of enlistment or you take a commission as an officer and you become a uniformed service member, the Department of Defense. Now, one of the sacrifices you make for your country is that while you serve, you do not get the same freedoms as the citizen you are protecting. For that exact reason, because you are the defender of said freedom. And in many cases, it's a conflict of interest for these freedoms to exist in a military organization. Let's just be real. You can't have freedom of speech. Loose lips sink ships. How do you think the USS Cole got hit? You can't have freedom of press. In every enemy country that we know would know every military secret that we have. That's why we have classified information, and that's unfortunately why it's very compartmentalized. On need to know only basis, no matter what the classification is. It doesn't matter if I'm the President of the United States. If I don't need to know how that radar works on a specific level, I'm not going to know that information. But the radar technician that's 20 years old knows that information. Limiting the number of people who know that classified information limits the chances that the enemy can obtain said person and try to extract said information. But even with that, There is a code of conduct in the military. Simply put, whether you're a POW, whether you are on social media, you must act accordingly, and you are held to certain standards. And no, you do not have a First Amendment right, so it cannot be infringed. While it may be in the civilian population, in the military, it is not an infringement because it is not a right that you get. I just have to make that perfectly clear. And while that sounds harsh to some people, that's reality. You don't have the right to bear arms, at least not on base, unless it's issued by the military. If you own a home off base, you have a registered weapon, then of course you can have that weapon in your domicile as long as it's not government housing. But even if you have a licensed handgun and a concealed weapons permit, you can't bring that weapon on any military base anywhere ever for any reason. Because people will lose their shit. Just saying. So, again, while I'm not keen on him having to be punished, the simple fact is he will have to be held accountable for his actions and the responsibility given to him and placed on him as a uniformed officer in the military. I mean, if I walk into a Circle K tomorrow with a pistol and I rob it of $100, walk outside and give the homeless guy sitting outside the Circle K the $100 and say, "Here you go, buddy, have a nice day," and just go about my day, even though my gesture and my intention was for a good purpose to help the homeless guy, I still robbed the fucking store, man. And I have to be held accountable for robbing that store. Now, it sucks balls that he seems to be the only person held accountable. The one person speaking out about how bad it was is the one person held accountable in all of this. And none of the higher-ups actually are. Congress had congressional hearings to ask about it. They all skirted around the issue and all the politicians said, "Oh, that's good enough answer for us." And all the while, they're got their left hand waving with the shiny new toy, and then they slid under the table. That, we passed the defense bill too, and by the way, females are gonna have to register for selective service. They didn't make that public, but that's gonna be something that needs to be made well known to the general public, you would think. So that's why I'm bringing that topic up, especially because that's going to affect our military if we do have a draft ever. But it sets a precedent too, and it opens other doors. Hopefully, it will open up opportunities and precedent for more opportunities to females in our active duty military, for the ones who volunteer to serve. But realistically, with all of this, it's all really, really simple answers. And that with females having to register for selective service, it's probably long overdue. probably very long overdue, and it's just a policy that needed to happen. I think it's time for that to be a policy and for people to be okay with it. And while I agree with Mr. Schiller, people must also understand that he's got to take his licks, because you can't hold him to a civilian standard. Just like you can't hold the Department of Defense in contempt for making a vaccine that is now FDA approved mandatory for all troops to take. Just like anthrax, just like measles, mumps, rubella, just like tuberculosis, just like polio, just like any of the vaccine that you would have to enter a public school as a student in this country. And again, anthrax in and of itself and COVID is not things that you specifically need to be a student in a school. Also realize that the military is going to be vaccinated for things that the general population is not going to be. For a reason. Because the Department of Defense is going to play the percentages. And even if it's a 0.001% increase in the safety to the troops, they're going to do it. Because it increases the overall percentage of safety as a whole in the overall safety program spread out across the Department of Defense. Because even though we don't have to deal with OSHA or OSHA inspectors, we do have to deal with the OSHA regulations as well. We also have to deal with mil-spec standards and a whole host of other things. But more specifically, when it comes to Schiller, just realize that he's going to take his legs, he's going to be in the brig for a month, 2 months, maybe 3 months tops. He might sit for a month or two while they're out processing paperwork, because he's going to do medical screenings and things like that before he gets discharged. They have to put him through a transition assistance program for a couple days to make sure that he's gonna know what the resources are available to him as he transitions to a civilian life, so that he will be able to get an employment and that he will be able to reassimilate back into civilian life after military service. And then after he's done with all of that, he'll make a book or a movie or some kind of documentary or a mini-series on his experience, and he'll wind up making a lot of money off of it, and he'll become very famous. And with the vaccine mandate, it is what it is. I have said that at least for the civilian population, I feel it is a matter of choice. If you are making that choice from an informed decision and not the comment section of social media. But when it comes to the military, it just is what it is. And that's just not going to change no matter what anyone says or gripes about it. Again, they give 0.00 fucks about your feelings. Especially if you're not a member of the military. Because while I don't prescribe to this line of thought, there are some veterans and military personnel who feel, how dare you tell me, civilian? Now, I only use the terms to designate between said groups, but even I don't really like labels per se. And while I don't speak for all veterans, I only speak for myself. But I do know most veterans know what I'm talking about when I say or use the phrase fuck around and find out. To be quite honest, it almost sounds like something my grandma would say to make me behave. My grandma was an old school Cajun lady that would unplug a lamp to whoop you with the cord. And the military will give you a little tough love like that sometimes. Proverbially, at least. Since hazing is officially illegal and against policy. But generally, in those instances, it's people going after traditional ceremonies that happen, such as medal pinning and rank pinning ceremonies, or naval and maritime ceremonies like crossing the line or blue nose or golden shellback or whatever the case may be, order of the ditch. But these ceremonies are very, very toned down from what they used to be for that very reason. Because it's about respecting people. While good-natured fun in the interest of promoting unit camaraderie is very welcome, abuse which causes dissension in the ranks is very unwelcome. Because that type of activity in a military environment only exacerbates the mental health crisis that our veterans and active duty community experiences, even currently. And, you know, when people ask me a month later, feelings on Afghanistan, like I said, they haven't changed much. My thoughts go to the 15 wounded and continued prayers and healing for those individuals. Because while it was extremely nice and great to see all the outpouring of support for our 13 fallen soldiers in Kabul, there wasn't a whole lot of pressing media attention outside of the veterans community and the active duty community at large in the general media about these 15 individuals and or their recovery process. Now, it's grateful that they will all make recoveries. Currently, a month later, there are still 4 of them in the hospital receiving treatment for the wounds they sustained. So again, when people ask me a month later about my thoughts on Afghanistan, my thoughts go to them. My thoughts go to making sure we're taking care of the veterans and the service members that served over there and had to experience war and a whole bunch of other horrible things. You know, if you are a population in a country that is gonna send young boys and girls off to war, you better be able to take care of the men and women who come home. And that's where our focus is, because there's already been enough focus on the politics of all of this stuff. The political noise is going to drown out everything else, and then those service members and those veterans are going to get left behind, just like past generations did as well. The bigger lesson no one else wants to talk about that I want to end on, because it's a more positive note, is what can we learn? And that is, what can we learn from Lieutenant Colonel Schiller and what this man has done, basically thrown himself on his own sword in the interest of trying to make things better for our men and women in uniform when it comes to the people in the highest positions of power in our military. And while I doubt our government and our elected officials will have learned their lesson yet again about entering in the wars without an exit plan, or at least not a very good one, one blessing in disguise is that our military was able to see one of its potential threats, and it was able to adapt its tactics to be able to combat those threats. And it has actual hardline experience combating those threats. Which is why we don't care about a whole bunch of Humvees that are susceptible to IEDs that the Taliban has. Good luck with that, Taliban. And we need to move on to other more important threats in the world. So while I'm glad we no longer have troops there that are put in harm's way, and that we're focusing on other more important threats, I also feel that everyone saw how this played out, and everyone knows the reality of this. So I don't really think that we should be spending congressional time and taxpayer dollars for them to discuss what we already know, when there are more important and more pressing issues for our congressional leaders to take care of when it comes to making this country better for all who live here, because that's their job. If things move slow enough in the congressional halls to muddy it up with too much of these hearings, because these generals have already shown and they're battle hardened. The politician gonna squeeze you, a general, down? These guys can put up with months of hard torture as a POW. You think some questions from a politician is gonna shake him down? So just stop wasting everybody's time with that. And let's just move on. Make it better and move on. Kind of sort of that whole Hakuna Matata from the Lion King thing. You know, it's in the past. Leave it in the past. So now that is what we will do on the podcast, is take these questions now, put them in the past. But keep the topics coming in that you would like to hear about, questions, comments, critiques. I like interaction with the people who hear the sound of my voice. So does Crystal when she's on. She really likes helping me weed through the questions and the topics. And again, we don't mind questions at all from across the board on any topic at all. We prefer it be something more geared towards our military or Department of Defense, something of that nature. But even if we don't get to your question or you specifically on the podcast, we always try to get back with you in an online capacity, unless you're a bot. Especially if you're someone who is in need of help, is looking for resources, or if you're someone that's wanting to help and you're asking about potential resources that you can help out with. Those are always hard questions to answer right off the bat, especially with people who inquire about other podcasts or nonprofit organizations that they can get involved with, because I always point to personal preference with that. It's really more what your passion is and what you would like to do to help others, what speaks to your heart. Find a reason why you are passionate about this one particular thing. Is it because are you someone like me who served and already had the idea and already wanted to do something like this and then was motivated even more by an extreme event that happened, like losing someone to a suicide, that drives you? And that's what I tell people is, you know, what's that drive in you? Do that, you know? That's what I'll ask people is, what is your drive? And I still try to help point people in the right direction. But so many people have resources available to them that they're not aware of. We try to get that information out. We do a lot of that through our social media. So one way you can always help is to just spread the information, share the wealth, share the knowledge. Retweet, share if it's on Facebook, the posts that we make about these nonprofit organizations and what they're doing. Go on our social media accounts. Follow us, like us, interact with us. We're on Twitter at Chatting with Slim. On Instagram is Chatting with Slim Podcast. On Facebook, it is my own personal profile, Joshua Sanima. In my header, it does say that I'm the host of the Chatting with Slim podcast. If you are someone that is interested in some of my more personal views, you're going to want to follow me on Facebook. Because on Twitter and especially Instagram, it's really, really kept to just spreading the message about the good work that's being done by organizations out there. Like Code of Vets, like Till Valhalla Project, of course Wounded Warriors Project, but many other small mom and pop shop organizations. I mention FSB Initiative all the time over on the East Coast in the Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey area. And we're always promoting these organizations through our social media. So check that out and help promote them as well. You can go to their social medias and like and follow them. And as well, on our social media accounts, at least for the next couple of months and the foreseeable future, you will see posts about Hurricane Ida recovery efforts in Louisiana, as we are based right out of Baton Rouge and know very many people who were greatly affected by this horrible natural disaster. And even though I would live in the big city of Baton Rouge now, I want to be a voice for the Bayou community that I grew up on in Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish, Thibodaux, and Houma, Louisiana. So you guys will see more posts about that. And if you are interested in helping in any way, shape, or form with Hurricane Ida relief, please hit us up on social media. We have a lot of people and resources that we can put you in contact with in private so that you can help. Any help is greatly appreciated by the people of Southeast Louisiana. All the help that is already given is already so, so greatly appreciated as it is. It's a long way to go, but we're already on that road. And now, as always, I like to try to end the podcast with a little small Bravo Zulu segment. For those of you who aren't familiar, the phrase Bravo Zulu in the United States Navy signifies a job well done. So I have to give a huge big job well done to an amazing organization called the Gary Sinise Foundation. Now you can check out this amazing organization on all forms of social media and on their website. But it was started by actor Gary Sinise, who famously played Lieutenant Dan in the movie Forrest Gump. Now, playing a disabled military veteran inspired him to want to help veterans. So he started the Gary Sinise Foundation. He also has an outfit that he travels with called the Lieutenant Dan Band, and they play USO shows. And Gary Sinise himself actually plays bass guitar in the band. So you can also check that out as well, the Lieutenant Dan Band. And you can help this amazing nonprofit organization help veterans in need. So again, Bravo Zulu to the Gary Sinise Foundation, to Mr. Gary Sinise himself, and to the Lieutenant Dan Band. That is going to be all for me on this episode. But as always, I leave you with the phrase, be good, but be good to others. We'll see you next time. It's never goodbye. Always next time. So have a good one, y'all. No Vanilla Ice said, if you had a problem, yo, he'd solve it. But remember, he also said, stop, collaborate, and listen. We need to hold up our end of the bargain.
Chatting with Slim Podcast.
Nothing to say, another brakeman on the rail so that the devil can pray. Screaming at the street lights and I'm bound to be heard, with a pocket full of nothing and a mouthful of words. In the bread line again, I should just call it my home. Fish and change from dirty mouths of the public bones. Daily swallowing the squalor that you only heard of. All the ashes down below and all the rain from above. You never be, nobody never going nowhere. I got the train coming at me and I just don't care. With my soul on the market and I feel so strange. Nobody's buying anyway, can't make a penny for change. Besides, who'd be there to split the rails if I were to go away? Asking me to spare in the joint. I could pull in a money machine, but really what'd be the point? In the shipwreck of the city where the tragedy sang, and I'm just another echo, watch me ring, ring, ring. Yeah, misery with company, I got nothing new. A broke down repeater with a five nickel view. Screaming at the street lights and I'm bound to be heard. Say you love me or you hate me, all I'm hearing is words. You never be, nobody never going nowhere. Got the train coming at me and I just don't care. With my soul on the market and I feel so strange. Nobody's buying anyway, can't break a penny for change. Besides, who'd be there to split the rails if I were to go away? Yeah, 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 yeah.